The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
And a very good afternoon to everybody. Welcome to my program, Afternoons with Mike. I have a guest on the line, Phil Corson, my good friend from up in Gainesville, is on the line. And in the studio with me is Jaime Blanton. Now, Jaime was recently on my program with Aaron Osborne, and he was here. He was on the program via telephone, so we've kind of switched things around. I've got Jaime here now, and I've got Phil on the line, and we're having another program. It's so exciting to be able to talk to this man who is a missionary to the Dominican Republic, the DR, and he's here basically because of a heart desire and a calling that God has put upon him to put together a radio station. It would be an internet or online radio station to reach the people of Haiti who are refugees in the DR. So, Jaime, welcome back to my program.
Thank you so much, Mike. This is an honor.
And Phil, welcome over the line up in cold Gainesville.
Hey, Mike, it's good to be with you, my friend. You know how much I love you and love your show as well, man. Appreciate you having me on.
Well, it's always great to have you on. And how are you and Kay feeling? I saw that you recently had your post-COVID tests and you still have those antibodies just swimming around in your body there. It's still active,
man. We're doing great. When I got COVID, I just really felt like one of the things that the Lord would want me to do is to share the plasma to help other COVID patients. And so last Friday I went that was my third time in the last 5 months. And so I got my results back yesterday, and they told me that I still had the antibodies. Both Kay and I had the antibodies in us. Because we've been getting a lot of questions from people. Hey, how long does the antibody stay in you? Well, I can tell you that it's at least 5 months.
Wow.
For us, it's been. And so we're rejoicing in that. And then I'll give again. I think I can give again on New Year's Day, January 1st. I'm going in to give plasma again. So just trying to help other people out, you know, through this time, even though it was difficult for me going through it and my wife going through it. It's been a joy to be able to use my plasma to hopefully help other COVID patients.
Now, just in a word, Phil, I know that a lot of people may not have heard the interview I did with you post your sickness, but you were very sick, and you were sick for quite a while.
Yeah, it was really about 10 days. It was probably difficult, but by the grace of God, got through it and slept mostly. I was just exhausted and lost 25 pounds in 10 days and just couldn't eat, couldn't do anything. But by the grace of God, man, got through it and doing great.
Well, I'm glad you made it. I'm glad you're feeling good. And thank you on behalf of all the people that have been sick. Thank you for sharing what is for them nothing less than a miracle, really, when you think about the fact that a person who has gone through what you've gone through can turn around and help another person by giving blood, plasma that contains these antibodies, and that is helping them. It's just amazing, isn't it, that they have the technology to be able to do things like that? That's just amazing to me.
Yeah, it really is. And I know that I'm giving it through LifeSouth Blood Clinic here in Gainesville, and I know they're appreciative. And you know, they told me on Friday when I gave that they were sending it directly to the hospital to help somebody. That does, you know, just, you know, there's a reason why we go through things. And one of the things I felt, one of the reasons why I went through COVID was to be able to help others. And so I'm trying to just use that as best I can.
Well, I tell you what, you're here today on this program because of the fact that you are one of the leaders of a group called Grace Partnership. And GP, we'll use that short acronym for Grace Partnership, is a group of churches. Why don't you give an explanation of how the churches that are currently a part? I know it's a growing group, and there's a big conference coming up in the first of the year that will be, I believe, in Orlando, and it is going to it is going to be attended from people, surprisingly, from many different countries, not just the United States, but we'll have several other nations represented at this conference. And you are one of the founders or originators of this movement of churches. So tell us a little bit about Grace Partnership.
Yeah, Grace Partnership is just a movement of churches that are coming together that have shared values. And we have three core missions or three core values, and that is mission, equipping, and care. And, you know, mission comes when with the desire to plant churches, you know, to help other organizations out, which one of which we'll be talking about today. And just, you know, seeing what the Lord would lead. And we've had not only churches here domestically, but we've also had churches really literally around the world. We have a sister church in the Ukraine, one in the Netherlands, one in Colombia. It's just amazing to see what God is doing. We have some relationships there in Haiti. It's just interesting to see how God has done that, plus churches here. And we just realized as churches that individually we're limited as to what we can do. But as we join together, we're stronger together and we can make a greater impact. And so we're looking for that. And then the equipping comes, like the conference that we're having in February, which is equipping leaders to help their local churches, but equip also pastors as well as they shepherd the flock that God's called them to. And then also the third element of Grace Partnership is just simply care. We want to care for the pastors and the elders of the churches. We don't have any type of authority over any of the churches that are part of Grace Partnership. We just want to come alongside them, care for the church, care for the elders in particular, and serve God in whatever way we can in those three areas: mission, equipping, and care.
That's a wonderful goal. Those three things are so helpful, and it's so neat, I believe, to have in the studio with us here Jaime Blandon. Jaime is I guess the right word would be a missionary. You've been called by God, and Jaime is originally from Nicaragua, as I recall. And he was again on the line with us. He is a new friend to Grace Partnership and Aaron Osborne and you, Phil Corson. And I was introduced to him through Aaron. And the day that you were here, you gave us your testimony. So first of all, I'd love your impression of this group, Grace Partnership. How did you come into the fold? How did you come into knowing Aaron Osborne?
And well, God worked in amazing ways. Just happened that I was in Colombia and I was trying to help a pastor that has some type of relationship with a church that is part of a Grace Partnership in Barranquilla. So I meet with Pastor Carlos and Juan Carlos in Barranquilla. And a few days after, he let me know that he was part of a partnership of churches. And, you know, I hear about what they do, how they are impacting, you know, and helping other churches grow and taking the gospel everywhere in the world. And I was like, wow, this is very interesting. So I was introduced to Pastor Aaron, and I think through a Zoom call.
Everybody's meeting everybody by Zoom calls this day.
Yeah,
it's the way to go, man.
And we start to hear and understand what was the idea of the partnership, and we has been interacting with Pastor Aaron, you know, since that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's Aaron Osborne for our listeners, who has been the lead pastor at Metro Life Church, and there's some transitions going on there as Aaron's work with Grace Partnership continues to grow. We're going to have him back on, and he'll be telling us all about that after the first of the year. But this is a very exciting thing to have Phil here representing Grace Partnership and you, because your heart. I know you told us a little bit of this story before, but your heart for the Haitians that are refugees, there are a lot of them, right, in the DR, and they're kind of the island of Hispaniola is comprising these two countries. I mean, it is the home for both of these nations, Haiti on the far west side and the DR on the east side. And yet the two rarely come together. There's a mountain range in between. It's almost like two separate islands, but it's not. It's one island. And yet some of these Haitians that have, I guess, escaped both the poverty conditions and maybe for other political purposes have maybe sought refuge in the DR. But it's not always a great relationship for them, is it?
Exactly, Mike. Well, according to the government numbers, at this time in the DR, they have like 2 million Haitians. For them, it's very difficult because they don't have any type of paperwork to work. They just cross the border, escaping from poverty. Mm-hmm. And they get here trying to work in construction, jobs, maybe in farming. But their life is hard. I mean, sometimes they cannot rent houses. They don't have any access to Medicare. They don't have any access to education. So it's real hard. And when we moved to the DR, we went with the intention to start a new church in the DR for Spanish speakers. Mm-hmm. But somehow the Lord connected me with 11 pastors, Haitian pastors, that has like a partnership too.
And they are related together.
Yeah, exactly. So mm-hmm. I start to have a relationship with some of them that live close by my house in Baní, Dominican Republic. So and I realized, well, after hearing their needs, you know, what they're doing and how they are affecting, and after I realized, well, it's many people focused in Haiti, in the other side in the Haiti side of the island, but they never realize how many Haitians are in the DR. So after praying, talking with some people, with my wife, we realized, well, maybe the Lord sent us here to work with the Haitians, you know, with the Haitian community in the DR. And so since this year, we has been working and getting involved with all those 11 churches, you know, and trying to help them financially with teaching, preaching, counseling, conference, and whatever the Lord allowed us to do for them.
Mm. Now, Phil, you can jump in anytime and share. I know you recently, Phil, were in Colombia yourself for a number of days as well, right?
Yes. I went down about a month ago with Aaron down to Barranquilla and was there with the church and with Juan Hernandez and had a great time of 4 days of not only being there at the church and meeting, but we also met with some other pastors in Colombia and are looking to build some relationships with them.
You know, it's so funny to think about all of this because this year, 2020, has been so weird. And I think a lot of people in America forget that there are people all over the world that are also dealing with this. But it's exciting to me to see that in spite of this worldwide impact that COVID has brought, that life is still going on for people in Colombia. Life is still going on for people in the DR, in the Dominican Republic, where Jaime is involved and has this heart. And you're right down there, right in the same group of people that Jaime was talking to. And I know you have not met Jaime directly, right? Personally, face to face, right, Phil?
That is correct. I haven't met him, so other than him hearing him talk today on the radio broadcast, this is the first time. So,
well, you know, what's so exciting about that, to think about that in this day and age, you know people in Colombia, Jaime knew people in Colombia, and we can all kind of intersect and get together in this one goal. I just think that's just a work of God and the amazing thing of technology today that we are able to do that. And that we see the world becoming a much smaller place in that sense because of the fact that although you may not have met Jaime, I just met him today face to face for the first time. The truth is, what ties us all together is the gospel of Jesus. Amen. And that's what Jaime's here for. It's to see this gospel go out to all of these people. And Jaime, it's just really incredible to think about the ties that brought you into relationship with us. And here now, you're sitting in a studio in the middle of Orlando, Florida, right on I-4, one of the busiest corridors in all of Florida. And a year ago, we would not have even known each other's names or had any idea that each other existed.
Amen. Well, this is the work and the way God works.
Yes, it's the way God works. That is for a fact. Now, you mentioned one thing before we go to break. I do want to talk about this because I found it to be interesting, knowing that there are so many people. I've been to the DR, and it is a beautiful area. A lot of it is lush and gorgeous, but there's a lot of areas in the DR that are not as well off as, let's say, America would be and as a whole. Mm-hmm. But the people that are coming over from Haiti are coming to the DR, and that must be like the land of milk and honey to them, because what they are going away from in Haiti is much worse in terms of poverty. They're escaping, as you said, poverty in Haiti by coming to the DR, and yet in the DR they're alone. They don't have the, like you said, access to jobs or education. And there's one other major thing. There's a language barrier. Mm-hmm. They're on the same island, but Creole is the language spoken by the Haitians and, of course, Spanish in the DR. So they must feel very isolated where they are.
Exactly. They struggle very much. Everywhere I go and I find Haitian people, you know, they're struggling with living day by day, you know, working in one house one day, cleaning maybe an apartment in another, working in farms, cutting mangoes. Some people maybe trying to sell coconut on the street. Mm. It is hard. It is hard. But more than anything, Mike, and we know we can change people's conditions. You know, we can help things like that happen. But if the heart don't change, I mean, nothing change. I mean, and I think the Dominican churches, they don't realize the opportunity that the Lord put in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
2 million Haitians right here, and it's a very little effort trying to reach them with the gospel.
And by reaching with the gospel, obviously it's going to have to be in their own language. Exactly. It's not going to be in Spanish, because they don't speak Spanish any more than most DR residents would speak Creole.
Exactly. So that is the reason why then I realized, well, if the Lord allowed us to do some type of effort to reach people, you know, with the gospel, Creole speaker, we need to do this by empowering the local churches that already are established.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, then we're going to talk about that. We'll pick up on that in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike. I'm with Jaime Blandon, also Phil Corson up in Gainesville, and we're just connected together here on The Shepherd. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Back again on Afternoons with Mike. It's so much fun to put these two individuals together. I've got Jaime Blandon from the DR, and he first heard about Grace Partnership, the group that has brought us all together on this through Aaron Osborne's involvement with Jaime. And then Phil Corson recently was with some people at Grace Partnership in Colombia, and the same people. So I know you're getting to talk to Phil for the first time today.
Yes, and Brother Phil, I realized he was in the same church, and I was invited to speak. Eh? You speak in that church with Pastor Juan. Eh?
And you had, go ahead, Phil.
We flew down on a Thursday morning early and got there. And then that Thursday night, I spoke to the men at the pastor's college there that they have. And I believe it was 17 different churches. I spoke on biblical manhood, two sessions on that. I spoke one session on Friday morning to his, pastor's college that he has. And Aaron Osborne spoke I believe, 3 or 4 sessions on the 5 solas of the Reformation. Since it was Reformation Saturday, it was October 31st, which is Reformation Day. And so Aaron spoke on the 5 solas of the Reformation, and then spoke at their church at their first service Sunday morning. Aaron did the second service, and then they're doing a little church plant in Porto, Colombia, and I spoke at that Sunday afternoon. And it was a busy time, busy day, but that's the common bond there that we have. I mean, as we talk about this, is how the church in Colombia has brought you and the Grace Partnership together, and because of Juan and what his church is doing there in Barranquilla.
Well, I tell you what, that is exciting to think about, the Lord working all of these things together, and you being down there with Aaron, talking to the people that also is known by Jaime. Now, one of the things that I always think of when I travel, I've done it a couple of times. I've spoken before with an interpreter, but not an entire message, the way I know you've done that in multiple countries. How weird is that for you, Phil, when you're preaching and there's somebody doing the interpretation for you?
Yeah, you have to be much more succinct in what you say. But it's just a joy that even though there's somebody interpreting, the great news is I get to stop and watch people's faces, and see for them, but by what I say, and then hear someone interpret it, and then they're getting it, and it's like, oh, okay. And so you can't tell jokes because you're laughing, and everybody's wanting to know why you're laughing, and then they interpret the joke, and then they start laughing, so it makes it kind of awkward.
That's especially if the joke doesn't translate well in another language, or it's
That's
not understood.
Exactly right.
So many of our jokes would have like phrases that would be more colloquialisms to us and not shared by other cultures. And so that's very dangerous ground right there.
And Mike,
sure
I remember when I went to Colombia, I was invited to speak in the church. So I was like, well, this need to be some similar to Nicaragua. You know, at that time I was in Nicaragua doing ministry. I was like, well, in Nicaragua, we have little churches up on the mountain. And I was expecting 10, 20 people, you know, to show up. Oh my, when I see more than 300 people attending, and when they, before the service, they let me know the people they invite to speak in Bible school, people from every, how different kind of very known ministry in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what I'm doing here? What I'm doing here?
One of the things that I want to talk about, Jaime, right now is that you mentioned these 11 churches that are in the Haitian community there in the DR, and they have kind of a fellowship working among them already. They have relationships, and they are all sharing this common, I guess you would say, a bond of being a refugee in the DR from Haiti, and yet they're kind of sticking together because they don't have anybody else. They don't have family in the DR. They are there. How open are these pastors to people like yourself who are going in and trying to help them?
Well, I will say that in the beginning was not easy. And I think sometimes we miscommunicate as a missionaries, and we trying to help people, and we make promise, but sometimes promise don't come alive.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the pastors said, we have this type of meeting with other people before, but they never return.
Ah.
So, and I was like, wow. I was like, well, whatever I say, no, you know, must have come alive. So they was not open in the beginning, but after that, I tried to do certain things that help, you know. They was planning a mission trip to Haiti, in that time, and they was needing $500, and I was like, well, I think we can get this money to send them to do mission work in Haiti. So we did. After that, I spoke with some churches here in the U.S. because the churches don't have speakers. So I start to get, you know, a speaker for some churches, and they start to realize, well, it looks like he is serious of what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Before I came to the U.S., we started a kid club in one of the churches, and the church was very small. Was the chapel is on wood panels. It wasn't wood panel, And I tell this pastor, Pastor Patricio, I mean, we're running out of space. What about if we expand, we open this chapel and we make it bigger? So we did that before I came to the United States. So by doing certain things that allow them to see, you know, we really want to cooperate to what they're doing, you know, open the door.
Phil, has that been your experience as well? When you go into, I know you've been in a number of countries, and I would think that there is probably a similar type of hesitance, and I think that would be normal, that people would have to say, are these guys for real? Are their intentions, are their motives pure and all of that? And yet, isn't it the case that they would have a real sense of loyalty to people that they find are the real deal?
Yeah, there's no doubt. You know, I think so many times, and this is the thing that I love about Grace Partnership, because we're looking to invest in local churches. You know, now we obviously are invested a lot with an orphanage that's a part of a local church in Bolivia. But, you know, we want to care for pastors. We want to care for that church as best we can, but in particular, the pastors. And I think people see the genuineness of that. And that's what attracts them about what we're doing. You know, we're not, you know, even on our end, Mike, as a partnership, we're not going to Colombia and Ukraine and all these different places. We're not running into people and churches like that. Understand here, we want this American church to come because you're going to help us out financially. That is not one's heart at all. I mean, the church in Colombia, you know, gives just a small amount of money to Grace Partnership because they want to be a part. They want to initiate and help. And the church in Ukraine, we took up an offering for some folks in Colombia, and they're like, hey, here's, you know, it was like $300 US that church in Ukraine took and gave to the church in Colombia and said, we want to participate in what you guys are doing there. So it's these churches are engaged with us. They're not just saying, hey, come and help me, and then you just support us. No, they're actively in part. And when you have that type of genuine commitment on both sides, it really makes to see God work incredible ways and does incredible things. And I'm sure Jaime has seen the same thing as he stepped out in faith. And when you step out in faith and you take risks for God, man, God, you see God work in some incredible ways.
It's so true. And I think there's nothing that is as exciting for me on a missions trip is when I get to be there in the culture and actually meet the people, and you get past all of the excitement about this American group coming and visiting this group in that particular culture, but you get down into the kind of relationships that and discussion to where they can actually sense the real reason that you're there is to just share the love of Jesus. And that could look like anything. It could be serving a church there. We've done that in the Bahamas. We've done that in, I was privileged to take a trip to Cuba one time. I've done that in Haiti, where you're there just to serve, just to be there. And that is exactly what has happened with this young man that's sitting in our studio today. Jaime was in Nicaragua, and he has a call in his life. And God has just opened one door after another. And I bet you didn't realize that when you were in Colombia, that God was opening a door there for you as well.
Exactly. We was praying because after 8 years in ministry in Nicaragua, we was planting churches in Nicaragua. And the Lord blessed us a lot in that. But after 8 years, we realized, well, what else can be done here? I mean, the Lord allowed us to establish a radio station, a school, churches, a ministry. So we was praying, but I will never, you know, realize that the Lord wants us in DDR, working with Haitian people, never.
Yeah, I mean, that's just not exactly something that would naturally come to one's mind. I mean, you're being called. I can see that. You are a Spanish speaker. Now, as I understand it from our last conversation, you are learning some Creole, right?
Well, I'm trying. It's hard. It is a little hard, but it's also in very soon, you know, all those people that moved to Haiti, the second generation, they also speak Spanish.
You know,
they learn Spanish because they grow it on, they born in the country. They are not Dominican because it's on law on this moment, but they are, you know, from, they born in the island, in this side of the island, and they learn Spanish since they are a child. So you have the language barrier with the old people, with the new generation, they speak Spanish.
Now, see, Phil, that's just what he said right there. He referred to us, the old people. We only speak the one, and probably not all that great, the one language. Although, I'm not so sure. You've got a few extra languages yourself, right, Phil?
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's called English, and almost English, and what is that you just said?
Phil spent a lot of time down in Louisiana, and so he had a little bit of an accent going, and that was awesome. But that's as close as I'm going to get. And I get around people like Jaime here, and Jaime, your English is great. I can't even imagine being able to speak English as well. But second generation nationals that come in, and maybe even in a new country, they pick up quickly.
Yes.
And they learn that language, and they're able to do it, and they're able to help their parents. Yeah. They're able to help the other people that would be older than them, older than they are, and that really does make a difference. But for you guys to take this idea of an outreach from the DR and from these other countries, including here in the United States, because we're praying that more people in the U.S. will want to get behind this effort, because one of the things that God has called you to do is to reach out in a particular way, and that is to put an internet or online radio station that will beam 24/7 the gospel in Creole.
Exactly.
Not through interpreters, not through second generation that are reinterpreting it back, but this radio station would be actually in their home language.
Amen. Yes, that is the idea, Mike. So it's some challenge on this because I was seeking on the internet, and it's no radio in Creole, a radio program recorded in Creole, like Back to the Bible, Grace to You. That this is the common shows we have in Spanish, and we used in our radio station in Spanish. So the only, I think I mentioned this before, the only one is Back to the Bible. It's the only
J.
one.
J. Vernon McGee.
Exactly. This is the only one in Creole. So we come with, the Lord put place in our heart. What about if you can get technology, a system where you can record those 11 pastor sermons? Those pastors can come and we can record, you know, classes, teachings. So let's say in a year we can have a lot of programming to full, you know, a day, months in a radio.
Wow. And you're talking about the same kind of format, basically, that the Shepherd would be. It'd be a teach talk, mostly teaching, kind of a radio station. And you're by internet. Now, that may be different to a lot of people, an online radio station. What people would say, what is that? Well, it's functionally a radio station, except for broadcasting over the internet as opposed to terrestrially, meaning over the air, with a transmitter, an antenna, a tower, etc. So you're basically doing the same thing. You'd be setting it up very similarly to what any American Christian radio station would be.
Exactly. So we will reach out everybody in the world who want to hear, you know, a Creole internet radio station, but we are focused in this very moment with people in the DR, Haitian in DR. Of course, people in Haiti, we have the opportunity to hear this radio station, but also we want to do something else. You know, it's not only put the signal in this streaming online radio station, but also those recordings can be sent to WhatsApp text, you know, can be posted in Facebook. So people will have all those access, whatever they look for.
Social media is a great way to spread podcasts. And functionally, that's what you're talking about. I know our podcast, this show turns into a podcast the next day. Amen. So basically, then people can share those recordings as they are in their language and then send them out via these different apps like WhatsApp.
Exactly.
And I know you mentioned, now that's a relatively new app for me. I've used it before for the last year, not often, but I've had it on because someone sent me a video one time, and I had to get it. I had to download the app for it. That's used quite a bit, though, in other countries, right?
In Latin America, everywhere.
Is that right?
Exactly.
What do you? How do you use that app? What are the uses for it?
Well, you can, let's say, and with our radio station in Nicaragua, we send a Bible verse, devotionals, and a podcast every day to whoever sign in, you know, for this. Mm. So imagine how much people you can reach every day.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, that's so great. WhatsApp. If you want to check that out, you can just go to the App Store or Google Play and download that program. And it really is neat. And that's how Jaime and I have been communicating with each other. And it works great as a texting tool as well.
And Mike, in Latin American country, is very popular because many people cannot afford, you know, to have internet full time. But the cell phone company allowed you to have WhatsApp for a very little money.
Okay, so you pay a nominal fee then for that one app.
Exactly, very little, but you have that application, you know, full time.
Okay, and so then if you don't have, like you said, internet, and we all know that, well, cell service is also, I would imagine, very expensive in other countries as well.
Exactly.
Yeah, so all of these things cost, and I just think it's awesome that a guy like yourself, that God would call you and God would put the burden in your heart to do what you're doing, boy, for the Haitian people. Yep. And these are, you know, you spent really not that much time at all in Haiti, right? Yep. Before this burden was placed on your heart.
Well, I went one time to the border with a medical team. We take like 60 doctors to the border, 5 minutes from the border, and like 3,000 Haitians crossed the border to get medical attention. Oh. I think that was the first contact when I realized, wow, these people really are on need.
They are. And, you know, I've taken a couple of years ago, was on a cruise that went to, I think it's Labadee, I think is the port that you can land there. And you spend just a very little bit of time on this little tip of the island of Haiti. They don't call it Haiti. They just call it by that name. And yet there's a big fence that goes all around it, protecting and blocking off. And the kids that crowd around that fence, the nationals, the locals, they're starving. Mm-hmm. And oft times there, you'll see some of the people from the cruises will go against what they are asked to do. They're asked not to go and give handouts, but they do because their hearts are touched. Amen. Because these people on the other side of that chain link fence, they're starving to death, and they're so desperate. And that's what many people are. It's a third world country right in our hemisphere. I tell you, it's really touching. Phil, I know, what's your next plans? Do you have any other missionary trips coming up in the future for you?
I sure do, Mike. We're going to have Aaron on Sunday. Just came in just to greet the people, and so Aaron has volunteered me to go to Colombia in February again, mentioning that from the pulpit. So my wife got to hear it for the first time as well, that I'm going to Colombia in February. So we're going up and we're going to have a great time. My wife was fully behind it, as Aaron asked if I would come. And I believe it's February 1st, flying out that Monday, going to come back that Friday. And we're going up and spending some time. I believe it's with 12 different pastors, 12 different cities in Colombia, just to pray for the brothers and care for them and their families, and doing whatever we can do to help serve. And Juan from Barranquilla is the one that has reached out to these guys, or I should say they've reached out to him because they've seen the relationship that we're building with him, and they're interested. And so we're just going to go up and do what we can do. I believe pastors from Bogota, Santa Marta, a bunch of other cities that are going to be coming. So that's going to happen in February.
We've got about 4 more minutes left here. One of the things that I want to talk about in this time with Jaime is the fact that the first time that you were on with Aaron, there was such an excitement coming from Aaron and you about this. And that picked up in one of our listeners who made a sizable donation. So people can give to this. And Phil, I'm sure you would have it. I should have come prepared. But the address for Grace Partnership, is that gp.org?
It's gracepartnership.net.
Grace Partnership.
And they can go on the website.net.
I'm sorry. Say that one more time.
Take them to the gracepartnership.net. That will take them to the webpage.
Mm-hmm.
And they can give. They can give there and just put in the thing of Haiti or DR, and we'll designate that money for that.
And so basically, specifically, what we're needing would be all of the equipment items that a radio station would need to have. That would include microphones, obviously, that needs to be bought, a console,
mm-hmm.
All of the different recording software pieces that are needed, and they already have some things going. It's not like you're not doing anything already. You are, but to bolster this, and really what we're talking about doing, it's taking what Jaime has done so far up to the next level.
Exactly.
And then the ability to get all of these Haitian pastors in for recording and then editing all of the messages, because I can tell you firsthand, running a 24/7 operation is a big job. It's a lot. And there you have to have a lot of material. You have to have a lot of messages. And the goal is to do this all in Creole. So it's a big undertaking. So please, as much as anything, they need your prayers. But if you can give, give to gracepartnership.net. And like Phil said, just identify that on the memo line as to what it's for, either for Dominican Republic, DR, or for the outreach to Haiti. You could put Jaime on it, spelled J-A-I-M-E, and Jaime would be able to be the recipient of this. And we want to see as much as possible these people be reached. I can't imagine 2 million people. Refuge in an island that does not speak their language.
And Brother Mike, and we have a radio station in Nicaragua, and that radio station is located in the poorest city in the north of Nicaragua, where at this moment we don't have any access to the studio, to internet in the studio, sorry. But just in the FM signal, every day we have like 1,200 people, you know, listening to this radio. But we do a version, online version, you know, that I broadcast from DDR in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And every month we have, just in that radio station, every month we have like 10,000 people. Every month, just in that radio station.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Yeah, from everywhere in the world. Everywhere in the world.
Wow.
Yes, and this year we support one of the pastors in Santa Marta that is connected with Grace Partnership, and we start a radio station in Valencia, in Colombia. So this is a new radio FM, and we just started in Colombia, and also it's already reaching people through the FM.
Hmm. Well, we're praying that you're able to take all of that experience that God's given you, and what a wonderful burden that He's placed upon your heart to take a new venture into Creole, a new venture into people that are hungry and thirsting for the gospel. They need, just like we all need the gospel. In America, we have it coming and going, but there in the DR, where these people, these Haitians, they do not have it coming and going. And I just appreciate you, brother. I want you to know that. Very excited to see you use the skills, the gifts that God's given you, and you're standing in the gap for these people, and I appreciate that. And Phil, thank you for being with me, and say hello to Kay and all the people at Abundant Grace.
I sure will, brother. I mean, it's great talking to you, and we'll touch base later.
Grace talking to you, Brother Phil.
It's been great having both of you on the program today, and friends, thank you for being with us as well. We'll catch you next time right here on Afternoons with Mike.